Hi guys, welcome to the Best Movie 2 pod, the podcast that tells you what movie to watch in any given situation. Our guest this week is Neil O'Rourke, so we'll do the episode in a bit. We're looking at movies to watch when you come in from the pub, but I just wanted to say we've been away for a while, but we're back now, so don't worry. We've got plenty of episodes coming up, but if you have an episode idea, you can email the pod. You should see the link to the email in the description. Apart from that, have a great time. Love you. If you like movies and I'm here to say, then this is the show for you, okay? It's called the Best Movie 2 with Jamie Alatone, so don't touch that dial, turn off your phone. Grab a sweet song, mix of popping corn, from Rosebud to Laughter to Jason Bourne, Meryl Streep to Kurt Russell to Dennis Hopper, and don't forget, y'all, this is the chopper! So, hi Neil.
Hello.
That's a good start for us, as if we haven't just been talking for a couple of minutes. How are you doing?
as if we haven't already done a little bit of small talk.
We were just talking about the nightmare that is the podcast voice. Have you done a lot of podcasts?
I've done a handful, but not loads, and I've not hosted one, so I haven't had to do that podcast voice that.
Yeah, like we said, I used to do the introductions to these as part of, so I'd be speaking to someone who I really respect, or, you know, other comedians.
Yeah.
And they'd see me fluff over where I'm like, welcome to movies with Jamie, the film. We're going to do a podcast. And they'd be like, who is this clown? So good to see you. We're going to cover best movie to watch when you get in from the pub.
An important genre.
Yeah, this is actually are you a big pub man? Obviously, we've spoken about your alcohol problems before.
I mean, pre-Pando, I was a big man for the pub.
Yeah.
Because I went into Pando, how old was I?
You're going to carry on calling it Pando?
Yeah, I'm not giving up.
Okay.
Yeah, I'm clinging on to the good old days.
Just so the audience knows that you're cool.
Yeah. Because I went in to Pando, I was, 27, 28, something like that, maybe 29. I came out of it in my early 30s, and I just can't pub like I used to. So the first year out of Pando, I was still giving it a good shot, but the body just couldn't do it. I was like an athlete that had been out for too long.
Actually, that age, like, I feel really bad for people who were like between 17 and 20 who went into the pandemic. Imagine, like, that's your prime. Like, I'm 18, I've started drinking, but I've still got all this energy because life hasn't whittled me down.
Yeah.
I'll watch a film when I get in.
The best drinking you'll ever do in your life is when you're underage and it's illegal and you have to hide it. So they got a few extra years of illegal drinking.
Yeah, but then also they, like, imagine being a fresher and it was like, we're going to do it all over Zoom. You're never going to meet anyone.
Shit. Yeah, no getting around that.
Because I remember, I wouldn't recommend this as a movie to get in, but I've come back from the student union one night and me and a guy that I barely knew, we just put on the thing.
Oh,
and
fun.
And I was like, this is the best film ever made. And he was like, I've had loads of Sambuca. What are you doing to me? This is awful.
And did you stay friends with him?
We had sex.
Oh, wow. Okay.
While the thing ended. No, yeah, we kind of stayed friends. He was one of them uni mates where it's like, I like your Instagram stuff, but I won't comment.
Right, yeah.
That level. I'm 37 now, and if I get in from a night out, I tend to be, I'm so tired. Like, when I left a night out, it was about 10 already. And I was like, this is bedtime for me. And if I get in early enough, I can maybe go for a bike ride in the morning.
Right. Yeah.
This was a treat because we're going to talk at length about your chosen film at the end, but it did inspire me. I went out on Friday. So just to show behind the curtain, and today is Sunday and I'm still recovering from that Friday.
Oh, yeah.
Of a double header. And it's Grand National weekend as well, which in Liverpool is, you're kind of forced to drink and chew on whichever horse you don't
bet your life savings on.
Yeah. So I think, just to jump in, like, what kind of film would you, what genre do you prefer coming back from the pub?
I think coming back from the pub, there's two things you want, I think. You want kind of like a brainless action movie. So something like Taken is up there. Is like, I've watched Taken coming home from the pub so many times.
And then Taken falls into something I'd call your favorite actor's trash.
Yeah, like, yeah.
Because there's Liam Neeson movies that you wouldn't watch Rob Roy when you get in.
No.
Because it takes a while to get into it. But it's still not like, he's not a dog shit actor.
No, not. I mean, that's one of the most amazing things about Taken is it's Liam Neeson doing one of those brainless movies you can possibly imagine. And it's
he's kind of got about 50 of them now. But when Taken first came out, it was like Liam Neeson's done like it's like a Van Damme movie or something. Yeah.
And I found. Do you remember when my family we first got Sky Digital?
I remember when your family first got Sky. It was a big day.
But do you remember they used to do like a free movie on it? Or so there's like I can't remember what it was called, but there was some things like they'd give out the first few episodes of a TV show for free to make you subscribe to those channels, and they'd also give like some lower budget movies to try get you subscribing to Sky Action or something. So I first came across Taken as like giving out as like a free movie, so that in itself reduces the value. Like you accept that a free movie is going to be a dog shit movie. I mean, my brother watched it and we couldn't believe how route one this thing was.
And I feel like without Taken, we don't get John Wick. It kind of opened the door to, we don't have to be ashamed of these movies anymore.
It totally reinvigorated the game for the brainless action movie.
Yeah. And also like it meant that as you're getting older, you can be like, do you know what? I can aspire to knocking out people of like indeterminate race.
Yeah.
in my 40s and 50s.
For morally dubious reasons. I mean, what was the one that came out fairly recently? No One or Nobody or something? Bob Odenkirk?
Oh, yeah, yeah.
I mean, it's basically the same thing as Taken. The guy just becomes a regular middle class guy whose family thinks he's a loser and turns out he can smoke a lot of fools.
I think the only problem with Nobody, and maybe Taken slightly, is when you come in from the pub, you don't want to be reminded that your life is shit. And if you're coming in from the pub and maybe you're like a single dad or you've been divorced, because the first 20 minutes are pretty heavy on, divorced dads are pieces of shit, aren't they? Oh, nice karaoke machine. We bought a horse.
I think that's one of the reasons. You don't want like a rom-com or any sort of romance or even a drama. Obviously you're not looking for a drama at the end of a night out.
Yeah, no one's banging on Philadelphia.
No.
To be like, I just want this company to really...
Yeah.
It'll be uplifted after 2 hours of watching Tom Hanks.
I've had a laugh with the boys. No, I want to go on a journey. So like,
rom-com, I guess you're right, because it's going to put you in a position of you're probably going to go, God, I'm pretty lonely.
Yeah.
The only one I put on my list was Pretty Woman, just because both characters are not really that relatable. You've got like a millionaire and a sex worker, both of them are not coming in from the pub on a Friday night. One's pretty busy for obvious reasons, and the other one is probably, taken over some company.
Yeah, he's doing one of those blogs about how he only sleeps 3 hours a day and wakes up and goes on his bike.
How he spends 30 minutes a week with his kids.
And the entire time he's thinking about the profits he's losing.
Taken's a good one. Also, Taken falls into, like, let's say you've come back from the pub, but you've got a partner or, the lads have come back because they missed the last train home. You can kind of talk through Taken.
Oh, I think that's a huge, a vital part of the Home from the Pub movie. Is you need to be able to dip in and out. You can't be paying attention.
It can't be too complex a plot.
No. You can skip out on Taken for about 10, 15 minutes. You come back in and go, what's going on here? Oh, he's still blowing shit up and shooting guns.
He's still threatening to blow up the Eiffel Tower if he doesn't get his daughter back.
Yeah.
And also,
lost and Taken.
The sad bits don't make you feel that sad. Like, I'm sure there's a bit in Taken where he finds his daughter's best friend like dead on heroin, and you get like a 30-second. Oh, it's pretty sad, isn't it? But it's mainly he's like, "Oh, sweet, it's not my daughter. All right, let's crack on."
And like, it only serves to make Liam Neeson angry. He doesn't feel sad. he's not got it. He had no warmth towards his daughter's best friend.
I think in his head, he's like, "One, it's her fault. My daughter's a goody two shoes, and this one is the one who made her go watch U2 on tour." which is odd. And also, I think he's angry because he'd already booked like 3 plane tickets back from Paris. Now I'm going to have to go on Gumtree. I'll try and get rid of this.
That's a confident man who goes to save his daughter and her friend, and he's so confident he's going to do it, he's booking 3 plane tickets back. That's Liam Neeson level confidence.
I mean, yeah, the reverse is bad. If he's got one ticket and then he's like, well, you know, I'm probably going to want a holiday after this, so I'll keep my savings.
Yeah. Another good pub movie is, almost for the opposite reason, is, have you ever watched Highlander?
I love Highlander.
Yeah. And it, like, it, none of it makes any sense. But
yeah,
you could pay attention as much as you want and you still won't be able to follow it. So that means if you start talking or leave the room for 20 minutes and come back in, you don't understand what's happening, but you weren't going to understand what's going to happen anyway.
No. And the plot of Highlander, even if you've never seen Highlander, the plot has already been told to you by your mate who's convincing you to come and watch Highlander.
Yeah. Yeah, that's...
And also the ludicrousness of it, that it's a Frenchman playing a Scotsman who they just saw a picture of him and went, he'll be good. So didn't check he could do a Scottish accent. And then you have a Scottish actor playing an Egyptian with a Spanish name.
Yeah.
And the whole time on top of that, Clancy Brown is wandering around being probably the best villain in like a B-movie. And, you've already said this to your friend before you sat down. So you've gone, ignore what the main character is saying, because half the time you won't understand what he's saying.
Yeah. Don't pay too much attention to the dialogue. There's going to be a lot going on. And the dialogue is the least important part of any of it.
If you've wandered out, or you know, you've gone to throw up in the toilet and you've left it running, you'd still come back and it makes sense in that it doesn't. What's going on? Oh, he's shagging the woman who's not a cop, but she works with the police, and they make that distinction, who's written a book. He's having a sword fight.
And there's also time travel going on as well. Like, it's the most 80s movie. Like, the soundtrack is outrageous. Just everything about it is just, like, an absolute roller coaster.
Yeah, they've been trying to do remakes of this for years, and I feel like the remake can only... Part of the greatness of Highlander is that it's kind of naff.
Yeah, yeah, and it's so 80s. Like, it couldn't...
Yeah.
If you were to, like, think of a cliched 80s movie, it's Highlander.
Well, you can imagine every kind of... before they came up with an idea for a scene, someone just railing like that good 80s Coke.
Yeah.
And then being like, you know, what if he learns how to run along the beach? And he's looking at a horse and he's like, I've got the power of the horse. And like, are they ever going to bring this back? No, 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 they won't bring it back at all. It's not going to be a thing, but we'll do that. Okay, cool. And it was like, he's got a sword fight. They're on top of a mountain. Oh, wow. Okay. Yeah. How do they get to the mountain? It doesn't matter. We get a helicopter. We'll get it for one day. And we'll just show them doing the most basic sword moves over and over because it's going to be too dangerous.
Yeah. I reckon they had a list of like, whatever, 30 locations that they thought would look cool. They went to them and just brought as many props as they could, snorted a few lines, and then wrote the script on set.
Yeah. Do you think they picked Sean Connery's outfit on the day and then went, just play with your character?
I reckon Sean Connery just turned up, like, dressed as he was. Just built it around that.
It's kind of ballsy to have a Scottish actor in a film about a Highlander.
Yeah.
For him not to be the Highlander. And Egyptian. Yeah.
So, such an easy move. It's such an easy win for them. And they turned their back on it.
Yeah, I mean, you wouldn't be able to... I'm not going down the route of, oh, you can't do anything these days, but there's no way you have this casting now.
No. and not... Yeah, but not because it would be politically incorrect, but just because people have gotten better at their jobs.
Yeah, because there's no actor who'd say yes. Do you know what? If you remade it now, I think it's Liam Neeson in the Ramirez part.
Do you reckon?
I go Liam Neeson.
Yeah.
And... maybe Chris Hemsworth as your Highlander.
I'm trying to get Paul Mescal in somewhere.
Oh, yeah, Paul Mescal. Have Paul Mescal as the villain. It's about time he got a villain part.
Yeah, because he's not played a villain really, has he?
No, not yet. Unless you think of that romance series he did where he should have said, I love you earlier, I think.
Oh, was it Normal People?
Yeah. I see him as the villain in that because he should have said "I love you" in episode 2.
Well, I can't remember the show well enough for you. I read the book, and just thought it was complete. I didn't realize there was so much hype around it. Read the book and just finished it. And went, yeah, that was fine.
Yeah, these people are normal. Oh,
they're dull people. But anyway, we're not here to talk about book to read when you get home from the pub.
Also, I think you want a movie that makes you feel positive about drinking. I don't want to get in from the pub.
Yeah.
And for something to be like, you wasted your life. That's why, like, I think Roadhouse. Have you seen the original Roadhouse?
No.
So I'd recommend that just because it's set in a bar and there's a load of bar fights, but nobody's ever hungover in it. And it just celebrates that thing of like, I'm drinking whiskey and now let's smash a table over someone's head.
And it is cool. It's not sad when I do it. I look like them when I drink whiskey.
And also the same, like, weirdly, The Hangover, I don't think they have hangovers in The Hangover. Like,
yeah, no, you're right. Like
The Hangover is cool. The stuff they do is cool. Like, some drunken nights is all about you wake up and go, God, what the fuck did I do last night?
Yeah, that can be fun.
That kind of celebrates that aspect of booze. To wake up and be like, God, I stole a tiger from known sexual predator Mike Tyson. Because if The Hangover was real, you'd wake up and they'd be like putting their face on cold marble and need a Diet Coke straight away. And they're actually quite functional in it. Whereas you've got films like Leaving Las Vegas, where Nicolas Cage goes to Las Vegas to drink himself to death.
Yeah, that's not what you want.
Yeah, I don't think anyone wants that.
I think another genre of pub movies that I think are good, because it can't be taking up too much of your attention span. You don't have it.
Yeah.
So movies that you've watched hundreds of times and can kind of quote along your favorite lines as they come up. So for me, one of those will be like Superbad. There's a bit of drinking going on in the movie. And just whenever they say one of your lines, you get to go, yes. And
yeah, I've been the same like Predator, where it's like, I know this is coming up.
Yeah.
And I'll get that sweet endorphin release as I'm still trying to get signal on my phone to text my ex. I'm having a great night.
And also, one of the funnest games of watching a movie after the pub is when you've got the lads back. They've all come back. And when someone in the movie does something, you go, that's you. You do that.
Mike Tyson, that's you there.
Yeah.
You know what you did.
I was going to say, I don't think I can accuse my friends of that sort of thing. I think we hang out in different crowds, if I'm honest.
But
I met Hubert. I know your friends.
He is a piece of shit. I do think kind of you've opened a question there. It's like a good pulp film is one that you can kind of have debate over as well, where you can kind of go, oh, that's, you know, would you do that? You know, come in, watch Jurassic Park, and you'd be like, would you turn off all the fences if...
Great shout.
If you knew there was a bunch of dinosaurs.
Yeah, well, yeah, what would you do movies?
Mm.
I remember I watched, I'm back with a few comedians after the pub, and we watched 8 Mile. And
I thought you meant the Green Mile.
Jesus. Yeah.
What would you do? Would you kill John Coffey?
Would you wet the sponge? Or...
Yeah.
We watched 8 Mile, and Mickey Overman and Matt Hudson spent, I reckon, about an hour of the movie having an argument about Lose Yourself and who was singing it? Was it Eminem singing it, or was it the character from 8 Mile singing it? And it got really heated.
God, that is like really intense.
Yeah, well. Yeah.
And then after nine pints, where you're like, I really need to back my side on this argument.
Yeah, but... neither were backing down. And like, for everyone else in the room, that's a shit debate. No one cares.
Like when people start talking about football kits when you were trying to watch the football, we're like, oh, I don't like that away kit. And you're like, I don't give a shit.
When me and my friends watch, we're rugby fans, so whenever we're watching rugby, pretty much immediately the debate will go on to who's the sexiest man on the pitch. And, you know, we've rated them. A popular game for my gang is we pick who our boyfriend is. And you have to pick one of the players who's your boyfriend, and you have to cheer them on regardless of what they do.
that manager stood at some guy in the eye. Yeah, but he looks after me.
Yeah, you feel safe around him. He protects you.
I'm trying to think. I mean, I'm happy to go off on a tangent. I'm trying to think here in the Liverpool squad, I'd want as Mo Salah, obviously. Mo Salah.
Oh, I can see that. Yeah, he'd be a good boyfriend.
Yeah, he's not a tall boy. I'm 5'5", so it wouldn't be...
It would be too weird. I think, yeah. I mean, the thing is with Liverpool, isn't everyone's boyfriend from Liverpool? It's Jurgen Klopp, isn't it?
Yeah, but he's leaving us. And it's dad's leaving. That's the vibe in the city now.
I got the impression that this was ruining, like devastating the city.
It was worse than Thatcher.
Would you ever come home from the pub and watch a match?
So me and Richard Spalding, fellow comedian and
very... He's a Liverpool fan as well, isn't he?
Yeah, he's a fellow nice guy as well.
Yeah.
we came back from the pub once and watched the highlights from the 2005 Champions League final.
Oh, no way.
Yeah, so I'd watch a historical. I'd never be one of them ones who's like, I've recorded the game. I don't get how Americans do that a lot, don't they? Where like, I've recorded the game, I'll watch it later. Like,
I guess that a lot.
Really?
Yeah. I'll avoid the score and stuff.
I'll check the score on my phone as it's happening, and then I'll just watch the highlights.
Right.
And watch like pundits on Match of the Day be like, I think what Manchester City's doing is fine. But I guess because I'm a film guy, like if I've come back from the pub, I want to put on a film.
Yeah. I mean, are you watching like a movie a day?
No, I probably used to be, but because I'm such a great stand-up comedian now, I'm more writing.
Yeah. No one tells you about the downsides of success.
Yeah, that's the thing, is like if I was watching a film each night, I wouldn't be able to write such great bits as like, what if you farted in the bath? And you know,
that's your man drawer.
Isn't it funny when your girlfriend takes your stuff when you split up?
Yeah. I mean, those are the same things you talk about in the pub as well. That's all you talk about.
Just to no one.
Yeah.
That was my spoon, my favourite spoon. It had a dent in it, and I used that to have my cornflakes, and now it's gone.
His mates have left hours ago. He's going to go home and watch Highlander.
Have you ever been drunk in the cinema? Have you ever gone from pub to cinema?
No, I haven't, but I remember... When we were underage, my best friend Ken Long, he...
What a time to find out I'm not your best friend. Well, I've already recorded the introduction of this, and it says I've got my best friend Neil O'Rourke finally on the podcast.
Well, I'm just happy that I'm beating Rich Spalding and Hubert Mayer. I remember Ken Long, we went to see that movie Harry Brown. And he brought in...
Very bleak.
It was so bleak, and he brought in like, and the cinema was packed, and it's all people we go to school with because it's like in the middle of the town that we grew up in, which isn't a huge town. Mm. And he brought in like an 8-pack of Bav, and and it's only an hour and a half movie, and he got through the entire 8-pack.
Oh, what? It wasn't between you?
No, I wanted to watch the movie.
He drank 8 beers.
Yeah, and he was only about 17, and like at the start of the movie. There's about, I don't know, 200 or 300 people in the cinema. And at the start of the movie, he was pretty good at like opening them subtly. But by the end, like just in a quiet scene, you just hear, and the whole cinema would giggle, and you'd even hear murmurs across the cinema of, it's Ken Long, it's Ken Long. everyone knew it was Ken. And it's a harrowing movie, and everyone came out kind of shaking heads going, oh, that was a bit grim, wasn't it? Ken stumbling out. Chanting at the time.
There's only one Harry Brown.
Yeah.
Oh, Ken Long is a bit of a legend.
Yeah. Renowned legend.
That's bizarre that you would, like, because it's a town, just everyone is like a half term. Hey guys, we're going to see Harry Brown. You come on. Yeah, we'll get Mackey's beforehand and then we'll watch a sad widow be beaten up by Example. No, it's not Example. Who's the rapper in it?
It's a Plan B?
Yeah, Plan B, that's it, yeah.
Is it? Yeah, it is, yeah. Yeah.
Because he did a great song for that as well. I feel like Harry Brown is like, it's 15% off of a post-pub movie. It's just too sad.
Yeah. If they made it a bit glossier.
Yeah. I'm fairly sure the first death, isn't it? Like some people trying to mug him and he accidentally pushes them in the canal.
Oh, is that? Yeah. I mean, I haven't seen it in so long. But yeah, I think you're right.
And me and a friend went to go watch, remember they did the live action Jungle Book?
Oh yeah.
And we, I think we went into town and then we realized it was sold out, the early one. So it was, we had 3 hours to wait. So we just went to the pub and then accidentally got pissed. And we was, I felt really guilty. It was kind of like being, it's like if you'd had a joint and you were waiting in line for a nightclub, like just buying tickets. It was that naughty thing of like, we're going into a kid's film and I'm so drunk right now. It just felt wrong. And
yeah.
You know, because I'm very anti-talking in movies, but I was just so drunk that I'd be telling, be like, God, they've made that bear really look like Bill Murray, haven't they?
Yeah, you're getting the important stuff out.
I went for free pisses as well. In the toilet, not just...
Yeah, you got you managed to get out of the screen.
When you keep getting up and people are like, oh, he must be an important businessman. He must be off to make some calls. No.
I don't think that's what they were thinking. I think if it looks like how I'm imagining it looks, they knew what had happened.
Yeah. Yeah, I didn't get it all in the urinal. All right, fine.
I went to see my first ever IMAX on Friday.
Oh.
I went to see Civil War. Good. I think it was good, but I was just so overwhelmed by IMAX itself that I just love the experience. That I can't really separate the experience from the movie, but I would say I don't ever want to be drunk in the IMAX.
No.
That would be overwhelming.
No, I went to see Civil War last week and it's so loud.
It's so, imagine that in IMAX. It's big and loud.
Yeah. And sad as well. That's you don't want to be drunk in that as well. Because I find the more pints I've had, the more I start relating to what's going on. Like I came back from the pub once and watched The Hunger Games and then got into a real funk about, God, if I was picked, would I kill someone and damn my soul or just kill myself and be like, there we go, I've won. And I really got into like the spiritual repercussions of, if I was in The Hunger Games, would I just kill myself? And it took me about 10 minutes to go, oh, I'm not in The Hunger Games. So I'm as a country, we don't have to worry about us having a Hunger Games style TV show for another 10 years at least.
Yeah, that's decades away. Mm. Were you watching that with anyone or are you just like having...
I was on my own.
So all that whole conversation's happening in the head.
Yeah, no one to calm me down and be like, it's okay, Jamie.
I think I came... The worst movie I watched from home from the pub was... have you heard of the... I think the Ken Loach movie, The Wind That Shakes the Barley?
I've heard of it, yeah. Is that...
It's about the Irish Civil War. Yeah, and about how it like tears communities and families apart. But the only thing is, the only saving grace was that I was blackout drunk. And I don't remember choosing to watch it. I just woke up in the morning in my office chair and with like my laptop open. And when I just moved the mouse slightly, it just came up that it was at the end of The Wind That Shakes the Barley. I just want to know, what was I thinking? What happened on the night out? Because I was living in London at the time. So I was like coming home.
Some like London wanker was trying to teach you about the Irish Civil War.
Yeah, or just made some Irish comment. I'm like, I miss home. I just got wound up and watched like the grimmest movie I've ever watched.
I think I prefer Rob Roy.
What?
I think I prefer Rob Roy.
Oh, for sure. For sure.
The Wind That Shakes the Barley, that's got to be a real like, oh no.
Oh yeah. It's Ken Loach.
Yeah, yeah. Even like Ken Loach, if you took him for like a Sunday roast, I reckon it'd be like, well, these potatoes are probably from, you know, some poor farm that they can't really make ends meet and his chicken struggled.
Can't imagine Loachy's a laugh.
I'll get him on the pod and be like, best film to cheer you up, Ken. What are you going for?
Best movie to change your outlook on life. Encourage you to do something fun.
Yeah, maybe fucking bang on a smile, Ken, hey?
Do a comedy once or twice.
Right, I'd say we're kind of moving towards, before we pick like your big one, I'll do some special recommendations just because people listening, we're starting to get feedback now of people going, oh, I've watched this off the back of listening to the podcast. And I was like, I wasn't even sure we'd made this podcast live. I don't know the kind of behind the scenes. I just assumed no one was listening. So some bangers. Well, you mentioned
The
I mean, The Departed's great, but that is so long.
But I always think that's one of the good things about it for post-pub movies. You're not going to run out of road. You're going to fall asleep watching that. In the movie.
Oh, that's an interesting take. Yeah, I mean, I always cite Independence Day as a great hangover film, but also it's 2.5 hours.
Yeah,
long, but so you can bang that on.
That's kind of your day sorted.
Are you coming back from the pub at like 7 p.m.?
Yeah.
I've been there since noon. Boss has called me on the phone. He's not getting an answer.
I've run out of door money.
I'd throw out, I think you mentioned The Guest when we were with the Emin, which I think covers a lot of criteria. It's not relatable, really. You know, I'm not a super soldier who's jacked in the nines.
Yeah.
I mean, you're pretty, you got jacked over lockdown, didn't you? So maybe that's...
Yeah, I came out of lockdown in the best shape I've ever been in, but then life happened and I've slowly been losing it.
And, I remember a lot of people were like, have you fucking seen Neil O'Rourke?
He's
jacked.
Yeah, I mean, it's a shame that, like, because it was during lockdown where I had nothing else to do, so I did get in really good shape. But it means that for 90% of the time that I was in the best shape of my life, legally, I couldn't see anyone. So people got a glimpse of it, and then just slowly over 2 or 3 years, I've gone downhill, and now I'm just a regular boy. And that's also, that's worth noting, I will say, is I wasn't actually jacked. It was just, I was such a scrawny boy. I just got the size of a regular boy, and everyone's like, geez, didn't think Neil had it in him.
Yeah, but that's the best, surely. Like, I get that with being a fat guy. Sometimes I lose, like, just a few pounds, and people are like, oh, you've got, like, bones in your face. Wow. Well done.
Yeah, and, you know, I remember, because you had that joke where you'd say, people, whoever the promoter was, you would say, they said, I really see it in your face. Was that, you did have something like that, didn't you?
I had one about a promoter who would, because the promoter knew me, but the bouncer didn't. And I'd lost a bit of weight.
Oh, that was it. Yeah.
And the promoter was like, God, you're doing so great. And the bouncer was like, oh, come on, mate, don't take the piss.
Yeah.
It's like, it's so odd that in some people's eyes, like what you had, some people like, wow, you look fucking great. And then someone who's never seen you before would be like, you're talking about that five over there.
Yeah. Yeah, exactly. You're talking about that average boy.
Yeah, I got back together with my ex once after we'd split for 5 years. And I'd gone through like a bout of gaining weight and then losing loads. And so when we got back up, I was like, have you noticed, you know, I'm in better shape? And she was like, no. And I realized what happened is when we'd split up, I was at the exact point that I was there then. But because things had got so much worse, I was in a good place. I was like, I've finally turned this around. I can see my penis again. And she was like, no, if anything, it's like you stayed in stasis.
So I guess you can call that a draw.
Yeah. I mean, I won eventually. Don't worry.
Yeah. the Guest is a good one as well, because I would say it takes about 15, 20 minutes for something mad to happen in that movie. And those are the 15, 20 minutes at the start of the movie. You're eating the pizza you picked up on the way home. Mm-hmm. So you're kind of catered for the first 20 minutes. And then with The Guest, it takes about, 20 minutes for something mad to happen. And then it's another 10 minutes before something mad happens. And then it's 5 minutes. And the time just keeps like halving until the last 5 minutes. It's just the most bizarre movie for 5 minutes.
And The Guest has moments that are designed for, oh my God. Like, my favorite scene in The Guest is where he walks back into the shop and he's just got two hand grenades and goes, sorry, and just blows up everyone. And again, there's no like, there's no miserable repercussions of the stuff that he does. You don't feel bad about the people that die in that coffee shop. You kind of feel bad for the mum. Spoilers for The Guest. I won't go into what happens, but there's some moments where you're like, oh, come on, mate.
Yeah. My favorite scene that is, they're playing, again, it's really 80s music. I find the 80s really funny. So, when they've just gone to a party. I think he's beating the shit out of someone. And then they're coming home and he walks the daughter, sister, I don't know, the girl.
Oh, yeah.
And she's gone into her room. She's put her headphones in and then, like, sighed as it plays that, like, high-tempo music. And it backs out of her window and then pans across the window that he's staying in. And it's the red light behind him. And he's just going this mad look at the window as the music goes, haunted by your soul. And it's adding nothing to the story. It's just an insane image that they went, yeah, we're using this.
Yeah, like the choice of Dan Stevens, who I think for at that point was like a nice boy from Downton Abbey.
Yeah.
And he's British and he's like, he's a little bit posh. And for him just to play this psycho from the army.
Yeah. You really didn't want to get pigeonholed.
But also, I guess, like, coming back from the pub, also, when you come back from the pub, that's the time where you most think, like, God, do you know what? If there was a couple of lads at a bar and they were giving me grief, I reckon I could sort them out. So you get a bunch of moments where it's like the kid fighting the bully, and it's a good moment. And he beats up all the bullies in the bar, and he's just dishing out justice to everyone. And you're like, yeah, I reckon I could easily do this. And then he starts killing nice people. Like, no.
Yeah, that movie gets so out of hand.
Yeah, if anything, he's a bad guest by the end of it, I'd say. Oh,
yeah. Fucking too. Change the title too, right, Jamie?
another great recommendation, just because of how quickly it jumps into it. Have you seen The Raid, the Indonesian film, The Raid?
No.
So this is, I only mention this because I tried to make this an Afterpub film, but we got in. So it's about a SWAT team, and they're taking a tower block. There's a drug dealer on the top of the tower block. It's very much like Dread, the last Dread film that came out. The SWAT team, they go to the tower block and like, the drug dealer's on the top, cool, we go up, we'll get him. When they get there, they only realize once they're in, every single flat in the block is either a drug dealer or people who owe money to the guy at the top. And it's like all one big building full of people who work for him. So they have to kind of fight their way up to get to him.
Kind of like Donkey Kong or something.
I mean, yeah, he is throwing barrels down the whole time. Yeah, it's so simple. Again, it's one of them where you like don't need to know anything about the plot. The fight scenes are amazing. It's very graphic. And it is one of them, like, knowing you want, like, you don't mind a bit of graphic violence when you come in from the pub. You're like, oh, God, he's got a bone out. But I tried to put this on and show my friend Tom once when we got back from the pub. And because it's Indonesian, it started and he just went, oh, it's not one that you have to read, is it? Oh, my. And I was like, no, give it 10 minutes. And then this is going to be some of the stunts you've never, ever seen before. He's like, oh, mate, I just don't feel like reading. It's like watching a black and white film. I was so heartbroken. I was like, all right, fine.
I do see what he's saying.
It makes you sound like a beast, but I don't think I could put on like a classic black and white film coming back from the pub. Don't want to bang on Casablanca.
Nah.
Or maybe just skip forward through The Wizard of Oz. First 30 minutes of Wizard of Oz, skip forward. There we go. You got a bit of colour and you're laughing. And then before we get into your big recommendation, I'd also shout out Dog Soldiers. Have you seen Dog Soldiers?
Never even heard of that.
Dog Soldiers is set in Scotland. It's about a group of soldiers who are like out on like training manoeuvres. And then they get attacked by a werewolf and they hold up in a house. It's like, I think it's like maybe 2002 or something. But it's very funny as well. It's Neil Marshall who went on to do the Descent, which is like one of the best films.
Yeah.
But this one is, it's like squaddy humor and they're all like making each other laugh.
Yeah, that's
low budget, but really well made. And it's one that it just kicks in straight away as well. You know, first 10 minutes you get like a little bit of who are these soldiers and then, right, attacked by werewolves, holed up in a house. And it also has that added element of like, what would you do? Because they start doing that thing where you like, you know, you put pans on the boil and stuff.
Oh, yeah.
And it's like, what would you lock up? What would you, you know, and they're checking what ammo they've got. And it's all that stuff of like, yeah, the first thing you do, what big knives have we got? All that. I like modern horror films where they always have that. Modern horror films are made with an eye of everyone has seen something about the monster that they're currently fighting, where you go over like the, okay, what do we know about werewolves?
Right. Yeah.
People tend to accept it a bit easier because they've seen it. If it's one of them like old, you know, 1940s big, you know, black and white films where someone's like, that count up in that castle, he seems to be taking a lot of people. I don't know what's going on there.
I went to see Nosferatu in the cinema recently.
The OG one.
Yeah. And it's so funny. It's not meant to, but it's just like, because it was made before there's like any, like, before tropes became hack.
Yeah.
So it's, yeah, it's good fun.
Would you recommend watching Nosferatu after a night out in the pub?
No, I don't think that's the one. There's reading, it's black and white, the action is shit.
You've been stropedo and WKDs all night, and you're like, hey, guys, we're going to go watch James Whale's Frankenstein.
Yeah. If you're like, the WKDs, there's more colour in your drinks than there is in the movie. Yeah, I'm trying to think of other quick recommendations I have. But it's movies like everyone would know. Like Goodfellas is great, Coming Home from a Pub. Lord of the Rings, Two Towers. That's an oddly good pub movie.
Well, look, I mean, Lord of the Rings, I think just the trilogy, they need to work out whatever streaming site that's on. They need to just play the all three. I'll wake up in and out because I need a piss or something.
Yeah.
Just have all three. And then I'll wake up and be like, oh, Helm's Deep. Cool. Okay. That's nice. I'll watch this for 10 minutes, play on my phone for a bit and pass out again.
Yeah. And extended versions, no doubt.
But then I wouldn't want to wake up after a night in a pub and wake up to Sean Bean getting killed. I'd be like, oh, nah. No. Barabina. Oh, well, at least his brother's fine. So that should be okay.
Yeah. I'm not sure the other two are good for the pub, but because Helm's Deep is such a good set piece, I think that's a good post-pub movie.
And that's the one where Gandalf comes over the hill and he's like, I'll be there when the sun's there. And he's like, he must have been waiting for about 2 hours. Yeah. Just peering over and being like, has the sun hit the...
And then going back to sleep.
Yeah. It's like watching his horse take a shit. Like, yeah, it's got to only. I'll clean down the horse so it looks like beautiful. Meanwhile, over the hill, all his mates are dying. But he's like, no, I said, I've got this amazing trick that I'm going to pull.
And I've already said wizards are never early. Yeah. Have to be exactly on time.
Meanwhile, like someone who's got, you know, a wife and kids has got just been absolutely gutted out on the wall. But like,
by an orc.
Yeah. Get killed by an orc. Someone who's like 2 days old.
That's it. Yeah, yeah. That's got to be one of the worst ways to go. Yeah. Orc murder.
Because I bet they smell. And they don't do that like the end of the heat, end of heat, like hold your hand as you die. I would have preferred that. Just one orc holding a hand of like some elf. Yeah. And be like, I told you, brother, I'd take you down.
Yeah. Yeah. Just a soft orc. A soft orc.
To me, the juice is Helm's Deep. Shall we do your big recommendation then?
All right, let's go for it. So it's kind of covering everything I've said in that it needs. I want action, and I want it. I do want it to be like funny, so you can have a laugh with the lads that you brought back, and seen it 100 times, so you can quote along all your favorite bits.
So it's Oliver Stone's JFK. Yeah.
I backed this up because I came home. It wasn't a big night, but I came home from the pub last night and I watched Hot Fuzz. And initially I was having doubts that I'd pick the right movie because it does start a little bit slower than I thought. But as I say, that's when you've come home with a bit of food. So you're eating your food. Yeah. The food's keeping you entertained for the slow bit as it's setting things up. And just as you're finishing the pizza, opening up the wedges, you're about to horse into some wedges. And that's when he's arrived in the town. Checked into the hotel, and that's when it starts kicking off. And you've got like some genuinely good action that's also funny with really like it's such a funny movie. The jokes are so good. It's so quotable.
Yeah, I think if you're a film lover as well, there's so many tropes that it plays with.
I
think one of the best edited sequences is just his phone signal going down.
Oh, it's so
it good. Tells you everything about the place he's going to.
Yeah, yeah. I remember seeing a video essay about like American directors versus UK directors like Edgar Wright and about how he can communicate information so much more concisely than kind of mainstream those American movies that were made by like the improv guys where it's just loose script and Edgar Wright, yeah, he communicates stuff so quickly with cutscenes like that. And that scene is so good. And also key thing with Hot Fuzz, can't ignore it. There's a scene where they're coming home from the pub and watching movies.
Yeah, I was going to say, like, if you look at the Cornetto trilogy, Yeah. Edgar Wright actually has a weird relationship with the pub, because I would say Shaun of the Dead actually reflects really badly on the pub. Like, he breaks up from his relationship because he just wants to go to the pub all the time. And like, even though it's considered like a base of operations for them, it do, by the end when he's back together with Liz, it's not a case that they go, and shall we go to the pub? The pub was actually really...
Yeah, it was getting in the way.
I feel like Edgar Wright is... And also The World's End is... Edgar Wright is constantly telling you, look, in your 20s or teenage years, the pub is fine.
Yeah.
But once you're older, you need to mature.
And yeah, you need to move on past the pub.
Yeah, whereas at least Hot Fuzz is like, look, if you're in the middle of nowhere in a village, you're okay to just go to pub.
Yeah, and it's also, that's how they get Angel to like loosen up.
Yeah, it's, I mean, a lot of the time, like relationship with men, especially cop movies, is very, once I've been shot or I've done my monologue about, yeah, I used to have a partner and he died and that's why I can't open up. Whereas that is just, they've had a few pints and so they can talk about, I think he's talking about like his uncle was bent, but he got him a police tricycle or something. Yeah. We don't get enough of that. The pub showing how men can actually relate to each other. Once we've had five pints, we can be like, oh, actually, you know, I'm feeling a bit depressed.
Yeah. And it, like, one of the things I really like about it is that I don't, like, every movie, it seems, puts a romance story in, even where it's not needed. This is just about, like, people becoming friends.
Yeah.
Seeing that friendship develop and out, you know, like, they're generally, you know, it's so cliched, but they're like, they're teaching each other stuff and they're just like, and they're having a laugh. Loads of movies, like, actually, if you look at that the series that we spoke about earlier, Normal People, I don't know why that couple are together, because at no point do you see them ever having any fun together.
It must be the sex.
Oh, well, we see loads of that. That doesn't even look particularly great, if I'm honest.
Yeah, it's just like fingering and...
And like, yeah, even that they take way too seriously.
But, yeah, that's not normal fingering, where you tickle... yeah. I assume you do the same thing I do, where you tickle someone's feet while you're doing it at the same time.
Yeah, yeah.
Just to keep pace.
You turn them upside down.
Yeah,
you do the fingering mask.
The blowing on the belly. You know, normal fingering. Hot Fuzz as well is great because it's, you know, we're both stand-up comedians, so we understand how to get a laugh. You make a fart noise into the mic. Edgar Wright is brilliant at callbacks. Like, even stuff, you can watch something the 50th time. And, like, there's a bit where he says, if you want to be a big cop in a little town, fuck off down the model village. And they end it in the model village.
Yeah, yeah. The thing is, they tell you everything that's going to happen.
Yeah, and also, I was really surprised the first time I saw Hot Fuzz because I was expecting it to just riff on the American cop movies and not realize they were doing a lot of like the British folk. Like it's got a lot in debt to The Wicker Man and stuff like that.
Oh right, yeah, yeah.
You know, it's got like slasher elements where you're like, oh, I thought this would just be a bombastic, you know, witch racing a drug dealer. But it's a bit more rewarding than that. There's a bit, because I guess what you've already seen so many of the 80s American cop films where there wouldn't have been anything fresh there.
Yeah, yeah. But they, like, and there's they do the American thing of making everything really big, but just put on a British small scale. Like, I know, like, the choosing to put it in Gloucester, a lot of people, like, kind of pass off as, oh, they just wanted to use the funny accent. But I don't think that is what it was. I think it was just, apart from anything else, Edgar Wright is from down there. So I think he just wanted to make it something that he knew. And also it means you can do it in a small town and make it feel small.
Mm. And yeah, it's towns like that, everyone does know each other. And you could see them making that final conclusion of, what if we just killed the people that were making this town bad?
Yes. I mean, when you came on one Friday and watched it, did it work for you?
Yeah, because also I had that thing of I fell asleep for 20 minutes. I woke up just at the bit where they all surround him and Danny, again, another great callback, Danny gets himself, he stabs him, but it's the ketchup trick.
Oh, yeah, yeah, yeah.
Because I've seen it so many times. And also, Hot Fuzz, the great thing about Hot Fuzz is if you're British, when you come in from the pub, it's on ITV2. You don't even need to buy it. It's definitely already on ITV2. I don't know what deal they made, but it's never Shaun of the Dead or The World's End. ITV2 is just always showing Hot Fuzz.
Yeah, it's bang on.
Maybe it's propaganda.
At 2 in the morning.
Yeah.
Prime time for propaganda.
And also, like the simple stuff. You know, if you're really drunk, you get your little endorphin off just the really simple stuff, like seeing the best of British comedians right at the start, and it builds.
Yeah,
they give you Martin Freeman, and then Steve Coogan, and then Bill Nighy, and you just watch it going, oh yay!
And they even have Olivia Colman in it, who's like possibly the greatest actor he's ever made, like produced. And she's just there to do sexual innuendo. Like, that's all she does. The cast is phenomenal. Paddy Considine is in it. Rafe Spall.
Yeah, none of the cops are, none of the cops are like second tier actors.
No.
You know, you've got Kevin Eldon in there.
Really?
Also, the members and the fact that the Neighborhood Watch Alliance is the NWA
is great. Yeah.
They're all made up of like great British actors. You got like Paul Freeman, who was in Indiana Jones, and you've got Edward Woodward is one of them, who was in The Wicker Man.
Oh mad. Yeah, it's an outrageous cast.
Yeah, I think that must be off the back of Shaun of the Dead, because Shaun of the Dead and alongside 28 Days Later, I think, did help that. Unfortunately, it got too much with the zombie.
Yeah, the wave of zombies.
Yeah, I mean, I think The Walking Dead must be on what, season 58 now? And
I don't watch a lot of TV series.
I never bothered with The Walking Dead because I was like, once you get past 3 years, how are zombies still even a thing? Like, flesh erodes.
And they'll get a vaccine. We live through the pando.
Yeah. Yeah, to be fair, the Walking Dead realistically would just be people saying there's actually not such a thing as zombies.
Yeah, there's no zombies.
And it'd be Lawrence Fox would be doing a podcast about it's safe to go outside. Yeah. I'm just not allowed near my wife, but apart from that, it's safe.
Yeah, suing people who say he's a zombie.
Once we found like a perfect film that we think is right for that situation, we do interrogate it with the big questions.
Cool.
From the Best Movie 2 podcast, iconic, and also doing quite well in France right now. So bonjour, our French listeners.
Salut.
So does anyone have iconic? So these are the big questions that we're going to ask. Does anyone have iconic hair that transcends time?
The only two I can think of are, at the time, it blew me away seeing Bill Bailey with short hair.
Yeah.
That threw me for one. But I think the most iconic hair is the guy, he's got one line in the movie. It's the ginger kid who goes, when's your birthday?
Yeah.
Or whatever, 13th of May, what year? Every year. that guy's got some crazy hair.
Yeah, of the main cast, there's not, it's all kind of uniform. Yeah. What I would say is, in terms of hair, we've got a phrase now that I think will always, if I saw someone with a big beard now, I'd have to go, a great big bushy beard.
I remember the first time I watched Hot Fuzz, I was watching it with my cousins. And when he said that line, we had to pause the movie so I could get some fresh air. I was in pieces.
Because, yeah, it's Jim Broadbent as well. And it's the silliest line in the, where he goes, well, obviously he had something you didn't. Oh, what's that? A great big bushy beard.
They build the tension for that so well. But actually, one bit of, I mean, at the time, it was a bit mad, but is it Skinner, the supermarket owner?
Oh, yeah.
The mustache. It's a hell of a tash. Mm. I mean, I know now they've come back into fashion a bit, but at the time, a mustache was a serious statement.
Yeah, I mean, both the Andes have mustaches as well, don't they?
Oh, yeah, yeah. Because that famous line, you've got a mustache. I know. I do it.
Is there a scene where chugging a Guinness would help? Well, I mean, they're in a pub already, so we got that.
Yeah, they easily could. Also, one thing I noticed, it was in the pub, those pints look perfect.
Mm.
They're just like, it looks like cold shit lager.
Yeah, it's £2.40 lager.
Yeah.
I love when a pint gets put down on a bar and just a little bit sloshes over.
Yeah. Yeah. Oh,
yeah.
That looked perfect. So I think you could have swapped one of them for a Guinness.
Or even, do you know the helicopter shot? Where they replicate Bad Boys 2, where there's a helicopter flying over. Yeah. If he just cracked open a nice cold Guinness on that one. We've still got the ball in, the little widget in it. Oh.
Yeah, that would have
And that I tell you that Nicholas is like starting to move away from all procedure because he's a cop on duty and he's about to drink drive.
Yeah.
Gives you that. Is there a sexy sex scene? As you were saying, it's good that it's not been ruined by romance.
But what they do have is the scene where they're watching the movie together and it's Angel opens up and they fall asleep watching the movie and they wake up kind of all cuddled up next to each other. And that's like, that's the friendship version of a night, the morning after, like spooning.
Yeah, I mean, if there's room there for, do you want to come back to mine for a coffee, for a beer? It would have been a different film. It would have been nice to see a comedy where two men just fall in love. Then is that irresponsible that they're cops and you have to get permission to start a relationship? And I think so.
Oh, okay.
If you're a police officer and you're going to start knobbing someone who's also a police officer, then you have to get, like, I don't know, if any police are listening, and that's...
right in.
I'm sure in France, our French listeners are like, no, you can just knob who you want.
I have a feeling if that is a rule, I reckon they don't.
No.
Do you remember there was a story a few years back, this is one where you might want to take it out, but there was a woman...
Oh, yeah, I know exactly who you mean.
Yeah, she was like a married woman and she slept with the entire force or something. Was she getting permission for every colleague she was sleeping with?
I think she went down the chain. So the first guy she slept with, as she finished, she was like, by the way, do you mind if I sleep with Frank? Frank was a sergeant and then got down to constable. And that's how she did it.
And the lowest of the rung was the person she actually wanted to sleep with.
Yeah, she only wanted to borrow a pen originally. Yeah. She got out of hand.
I thought it was going to be you have to get like a slip from HR and like the first three he was handing out and then eventually he just gave her like a load of blanks and just write in whatever name is next.
It's pretty ballsy if you got that slip before you approach the person. If you're like, look, before we go for a drink, I just want you to know that Greg in HR has already said we can we can shag tonight. As you know, I'm Catholic, so there'll be no condoms. Is there a scene for the throat rip from Roadhouse? Now, you said you haven't seen Roadhouse, haven't you?
I've seen that scene.
Oh, right, yeah.
The iconic scene.
I think any film would be improved with the throat rip from Roadhouse.
Strong agree.
I think on this one, though, maybe the swan, if that takes out Frank's throat. We don't need Frank to be alive at the end.
Yeah. Yeah, that would have been... I was going to say, if you wanted to like change the tone of the movie early on, just do it when he's like kicking out one of the teenagers from the club.
Just one of them gets a little bit too ballsy.
Yeah. Oh, actually, that was one thing. Do you know when they're going through the scene of like, he's rounding up the kids drinking in the pub and the last one, he goes, when's your birthday? And the guy just goes, oh. That's a perfect moment to point at one of your friends and go, that's you. That's what you would do. Which is a key part, I think, of the after pub movie.
Oh, that given the year too early, doesn't one of them say, and he's like, what, you're 45 or something?
Yeah.
I remember the smartest of us, when we used to go to the cinema and we go see 15s when we were like 12, we had to remember our date of birth and then add. And like me and my other friend, we were smart enough to know, right, get it in your head now, get it in your head. And we'd always be with one dipshit when they said, what's your date of birth? To be like, it's the... January, I think.
And do they just not get in and you have to leave them behind?
Pirate's code, mate. We're going in, you're not.
See you in an hour and a half.
Yeah.
An hour and a half plus trailers.
What else we got? Is there an absolute banger? Edgar Wright, he smashes the soundtracks.
Yeah. But I think the one that says that for me, it's barely in the movie. It's such a good song and it's such a good, like, funny moment is after the house, they've blown up, the NWA have blown up the house, and when the supermarket guy is driving by and he goes, something like, you know, such a shame. And the music he's playing is Fire.
Or, yeah.
I'm so bad at singing, like carrying a tune, but he's singing the song Fire.
Go on, Neil, sing it.
No, I will not do that where it's going to, I know it's being recorded and listened
look
to.
Look me in the eye and sing. Yeah, I was going back over it. I had Love Fool by the Cardigans just because that, again, that's the moment where you realise they're taking the piss out of the Romeo and Juliet movie. And not
A
reenaction where they have the Cardigans that love me, love me. See, I'm fine to sing. I don't mind. That's where our French listeners tend to come in strong. It's just off the back of the singing on the podcast.
Yeah, they're for the songs.
And then this, the last one was quite a tough one. What's a quote you can say in your wedding vows?
Man, I watched, and even this morning, I was Googling Hot Fuzz quotes to find something, really struggling.
So I thought it's quite funny if you turned to the person you're betrothed to and just started asking the questions that Danny asks in this. So like a priest has just signed you off and you go, is it true that there's a point on a man's head where if you shoot it, it'll blow up? And have you ever fired your gun in the air and yelled, ah?
The only one, what I was maybe thinking was, it wouldn't be a direct quote, but I mean, you're getting married. Both sides of the family are going to have a few family members who've died. So I would just be referencing them in my speech going, you know, like, Auntie so-and-so, God rest her soul. And then Uncle, you know, whatever, Uncle Ben, may he rest in peace. Because I think that scene is so funny.
The last one I had as well was just, you know, you just got married to someone, you're about to spend your life with them. Don't go being a twat now. Just warn them. Yeah.
Or you could just, you know, when Angel at the end says to Doris, you like a bit of manpower, don't you?
Oh, cheeky bugger.
Yeah, really really make the entire wedding party very tense.
Just stare at your wife's dad as is. She loves it, mate. Loves it. All right, Neil O'Rourke, thank you. I think we've helped solve a lot of problems there. So we've got the best movie to come in from the pub.
Yeah.
Have you got anything you want to promote? Anything you want to tell our listeners in France about? Where can people find you?
They can follow me on the gram, where I post upwards of twice a year.
It's a 2-hour post.
Yeah. Where I do some pretty strong anti-vax monologues.
Well, you're doing a lot for men's rights right now, aren't you?
Yeah.
If you want to discuss that.
I think it's a forgotten demographic. I've bought a camera, so maybe I'll become like a clip guy. Who knows? I've bought it. I paid for a tripod, but it's tiny. So I got swindled on that one. So maybe like I spent my camera, like it's like a, you know, it's a camera that all the comedians have to film their sets. It's the most expensive thing I own by quite a distance. And I haven't used it once. So I need to start filming my gigs, even to just get that money back.
It's really bizarre that we all buy cameras that are like tend to be, yeah, the most expensive thing we have. And then what do we do with it? I leave it at the back of a room unattended,
yeah,
in a room full of drinking people. So yeah. I can go do jokes for where I've probably made about 50 quid.
Yeah. It'll take me, I would say, upwards of 100 gigs. No, that's probably not true. But yeah, about upwards of 100 gigs to earn that money back.
But it'll be worth it once you start posting to Instagram and your handle is?
Your friend Neil.
There we go.
It's a lovely name.
That is lovely. Yeah, it's lovely. And that's quite memorable, that as well. So do follow Neil on Instagram. Apart from that, the next time you get drunk, Neil, I'm sure you'll think of us and our special time that we spent together.
I'm going to the pub basically after this.
That's right. This is 9 a.m. that we're recording this. So
yeah.
All right, but thanks very much, mate.
Cool. Cheers. Thanks for having me, Jamie.
Bye.
Bye.